Hello, welcome to the Basketball Soapbox. I'm your host, Daniel Daly. This is episode 54 as we kick off the first day of NBA free agency. A couple of guys staying put, a couple of guys on the move, and a couple of rookie extensions that are significant in the landscape of the NBA, especially for these smaller market franchises. Episode 54. I'm getting a lot of feedback on the channel, especially with the shorts. That's awesome. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and share as well on YouTube and Spotify. But let's get into it. Guys that are re-signing with their current teams here. Very interesting day of the first day of free agency here. Let's start off with Portland there, giving Jeremy Grant the big max contract, 5 years, $160 million. And my thoughts on that is just, obviously, Portland's operating under the guise of Damian Lillard staying there, wanting to continue to build there. And one of the moves that they were going to make was re-signing Jeremy Grant, and where that money was going to be allocated to and how long it was going to be, the years, the money. And we got a doozy there. 5 years, $160 million, 32 annually, I believe, for Jeremy Grant, who was a nice young player. Obviously not a go-to guy or anything like that. I think of him along the lines of Aaron Gordon. Ironically, Aaron Gordon was in Denver. They won a championship with Aaron Gordon. And Jeremy Grant was kind of in that role. And I kind of felt like he could have been that role in Detroit. He could have been that role in Portland with Damian Lillard. And obviously Portland is looking at him as a big piece as to continuing to build with Damian Lillard. And, of course, this is all predicated on if this is enough for to keep Damian Lillard in Portland, right? Like having that type of contract committed to Jeremy Grant right now, I think is a big deal because I think it does. I think that, first of all, I think the NBA salary cap is going to go up in a year or two. So these numbers that look large right now are not going to be looking that significant. So I think $20 million, the new $20 million in the NBA is 32. So that's how I'm looking at it right now. And I think that's the case here with Jeremy Grant, where those $32 million a year look like it's going to be significant and put a strain on this franchise. Down the road, especially in 2 years, that contract is going to be like $20 million today. That's just my opinion on it. But I'm also going to laugh if Damian Lillard requests a trade after Portland does this, because now if he does that, Portland is basically stuck with Jeremy Grant on this max contract with these young guys. And that's not a bad thing because he's not completely out of their timeline a little bit there, but he's a guy that can go forward with and you can kind of play off of and be a veteran around these young guys that are on the team. And he can get his numbers, of course, as well. But I'm just going to laugh if Damian Lillard requests a trade after this, because Portland's obviously operating the guys that they're going to keep Damian Lillard, build this team up, build a contender with Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, all those young guys that they drafted. And it's going to be interesting to see how they maneuver going forward, seeing if there's any flexibility, especially with Jokic and Nurkic, and trying to see how he goes there. Let me just put that in here, I think. Oh, no, good. And just really how they move forward. It's just going to be interesting to see how that goes, and especially Portland committing to Jeremy Grant like that. It's going to be interesting. Moving on to Kyrie Irving, who signed a 3-year, $126 million deal with the Dallas Mavericks, staying put there in Dallas. And obviously that was Dallas's best move. I believe if they renounced him, they could have had like $25 million in cap space. But right now, looking at the free agency landscape and their assets requiring in trades or draft picks, they really don't have that. Like the only attainable guy that they have in trades is probably Tim Hardaway Jr. at this point. They really don't have a lot of movable contracts and movable players or draft picks to put with those contracts to get significant help for Luka right now. So the best that they can do is sign Kyrie Irving. And it's 3-year, $126 million deal. And I think that's right about where it needs to be. I think that's the smart thing for Dallas to do given their current situation, right? Like seeing Kyrie Irving walk and then looking at the free agent landscape and saying, hey, we can get this guy. This is going to be a nice addition. I just don't see that as a big money player, big move that Dallas can make outside of signing Kyrie Irving. Maybe they can potentially set up a trade. I think December 15th is when they signed players in the offseason are able to be traded. So keep an eye out for that. If Dallas gets off to a slow start this year, expect Kyrie Irving to kind of be on the trade block again and probably be a little bit more sought after by teams that have first-round picks, probably in a position to win, want to take a next step. Dallas definitely has that angle to trade Kyrie Irving if things are looking bad come December, come January. They have that option at least. So I don't think that's a bad move for Dallas. I don't think it's a bad move for Kyrie Irving. Get your money. The sources were saying that he was going to go to the Lakers. He was going to be meeting the Lakers, meeting the Suns, even the Celtics. And I'm like, none of these teams really have cap space there to maneuver to get Kyrie in that type of manner. But we saw him. Maybe that's just a leverage play. That's what NBA players and agents do. Use other teams to gain leverage to get more money. And Mark Cuban was committed to Kyrie Irving, apparently, for 3 years, and it worked out for him. Not going to be mad at that. Moving on to Brooklyn, Cam Johnson signing 4 years, $108 million. Obviously, he was in that trade for Kevin Durant with Mikal Bridges, and obviously putting a stamp there on what those two guys were able to do and improve their play with more touches, with more shots. Brooklyn committing to the young core, which is, I think, is another smart move. They're really not going to be able to make a splash otherwise without those guys. I think those two guys are a good tandem. I think they play both sides of the ball really well. And that's a good thing for Brooklyn. You need these young players to produce, and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson are two of those guys that can produce on a high level, and they're going to continue to keep their team together. Moving on here, we have Kyle Kuzma, 4 years, $102 million in Washington. People were expecting him to get a big dollar contract this offseason. He has been playing really well, and that was expected, right? Like, Kyle Kuzma's a solid player, putting up, I think, close to 20 and 8, close to those numbers. And that's just a good step for Washington, one of the smart moves that they've been making all offseason, trading Bradley Beal, trading Porzingis, trying to get some type of assets and kind of start this rebuild. If Kyle Kuzma is going to be a part of that, whatever the case may be, he's still a young player. He can help. He can be the veteran. He can get his shots. That type of nature there. And if anything, if they wanted to flip him at the point in time where teams see him as valuable or is playing well, they can potentially get a couple first-round picks for him, maybe a player that they can develop and grow on their terms. And I think that's a good, again, another good move for Washington. I think it's a smart move. And we'll see how that continues to go down the road. Moving on to probably, the first move that was made today, Draymond Green re-signing with the Golden State Warriors for 4 years, $100 million. I thought it was going to be 5 years, $100 million. I thought he was going to extend a little bit there. But that makes sense to the Golden State Warriors to keep that core together of Curry, Clay, and Green. I think that's a smart play for all those guys involved, right? Like, they've been together, what, 12 years together, 13 years together? The only other team that I can think about that did that was the San Antonio Spurs with Tim Duncan, Ginobili, and Tony Parker. Obviously, Tony Parker ended up going to the Hornets towards the end of his career because he didn't want to mentor Jarante Murray and come off the bench and that things of that nature. But Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, and Tony Parker usually were together, and probably the last tandem that you can think was together that long past 10 years, probably outside of the Showtime Lakers. I think they got the 10 years with Kareem, Worthy, and Magic, or at least Magic and Kareem were together for that extended period of time. So seeing this core keep it together, it seems like Jordan Poole's the trade there that got out and traded him to Washington. And puts this core back on the timeline, right? Like, they're trying to give it a couple more shots at it. Obviously, this contract is team-friendly. Works out for Green. He gets his money. He gets to stay in Golden State. Continues to be the anchor for that team. And we'll see if Golden State's able to add to that, possibly extend Clay. That's another move that they're going to have to make a decision on at some point in time. We'll see what they're able to do with the Golden State Warriors with that. Jakob Poeltl stays in Toronto, 4 years, $80 million. It's going to be $20 million annually. Really a good signing for Toronto, at least whatever they're deciding to do. We'll also get into the second part that they did with the guys moving around. But, yeah, just a good solid move for the Toronto Raptors, keeping a nice guy that they can develop and keep developing and he's a good shot blocker, good solid player, came from San Antonio. We're going to see what he's going to be able to do, but also can be a nice trade chip. $20 million for a nice center that can get possibly 10 and 10 block shots at the rim. That can also be a potential trade chip for the Toronto Raptors with Jakob Poeltl, but he's going to be there for a little bit, and we'll see how that goes. We also have Herb Jones getting an extension. I think it was 4 years, $54 million. I didn't write that down there, but that's a good, nice rookie extension for him, a guy that made defensive team, I believe. A guy that's really developing his game, a nice young player for New Orleans, and after all the news with Zion Williamson, it is good to see some good news for the New Orleans Pelicans. I think he's going to be a really good player for them and continue to develop his shot. Nice signing. Nice solid signing for the New Orleans Pelicans. Rui Hachimura stays out there. I think it was 3 years. I want to say $51 million. Was it 51? We'll see. But I'll check the numbers again. Staying out there in L.A., which is a nice, good signing for them. Really having an impressive playoff, really improving his shot in the playoffs so far. So hopefully that continues. Well, hopefully we'll see if that continues for the Los Angeles Lakers and Rui Hachimura earning the bag this summer for his case and returning to the Los Angeles Lakers. Kobe White, I believe it was 3 years, $40 million. I did not write that down. But he's staying in Chicago, obviously looking for a bigger role there, especially with the news of Lonzo Ball possibly not returning this season after those nagging knee injuries, and hopefully he's able to come back at some point. But Kobe White seems to be stepping up in that role there with Alex Caruso and those guys there. We'll see what they're going to be able to do there in Chicago for those guys staying put. Also, Chris Middleton, I believe it was 3 years, $102 million that he opted out of his contract and then re-signed with the Milwaukee Bucks, which is a smart move for the Milwaukee Bucks. They needed to keep that core together at least and see if they can keep Chris Middleton, see what they're going to do with Brooke Lopez. We'll see what happens with that. He's still a free agent. And also, I think Jrue Holiday also needs to be extended for the Bucks, but everyone thinks that clock is ticking on the Milwaukee Bucks. So for them to keep a guy that was a part of that championship team, obviously was hurt last year coming into the season, but kind of found his footing a little bit. We'll see if they're able to continue and see if he's able to get back to all-star form as well there. And that will do for the guys that are staying home, staying put in the NBA during this free agency. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. As we go to guys on the move here, and the big splash of the day, real big splash of the day, is Fred VanVleet going to the Houston Rockets for 3 years, $130 million. Woo! Getting $40 million. There was rumblings that the Houston Rockets were going to go out there and get somebody of a caliber of that nature, a veteran, a point guard at the point guard position. You know, they got Jalen Green. They got the Thompson twin who has a point, who has handles and can be a point forward. And some people are questioning this, and I'm just like, it's not really a bad move for the Houston Rockets right now, right? Like, you're getting a guy who's a championship player, a guy who has some pedigree, undrafted player, who came into the league, got the first $100 million contract as an undrafted player, continuing to build on his resume. And he's not the best shooter in the world, but he's at least a solid guard, a veteran who's going to compete on both ends of the ball, shoot the ball, facilitate, and being an adult in the room for the Houston Rockets. I don't think that delays their development of anybody there. I think it just gives them another serviceable player that can potentially help them build this team up. You still have Jabari Smith. You still have Sagoon, Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green. He's been a championship player. He's a veteran in this league right now. And I think that's more of the role he's going to play there in Houston. I don't think he's going to go there to be the guy, even though he's paid like it. But I just think it's a nice development move for the Houston Rockets going forward. And potentially with the TV deal going up, could be a trade chip, could be a help in a trade that facilitates a deal that benefits the Houston Rockets. So there's always that option with these type of contracts. And I think people kind of just look at the numbers and get shocked. And it's like, we saw John Wall get moved. We saw Russell Westbrook get moved. We saw Ben Simmons get moved. We saw people who we didn't think were going to be moved or couldn't be moved be moved. If NBA teams want to deal with each other and find a way, that will happen. And that was evident in the past couple of seasons, and that can be evident here with Fred VanVleet down the line. Right now, I think he's just going to help them develop and get them kind of on the right track with Ime Udoka, be a veteran, be a tough guy on that team, and give them some grit, give them some veteran leadership, get these young guys on the reps. And we'll see how that turns out. Another big stunner of the day is Bruce Brown going to the Indiana Pacers. And that was a shock for sure, especially after Mike Malone at the Denver Nuggets parade said that he was not going to be going anywhere and that the Nuggets were going to be keeping him. I guess Bruce Brown saw that 2 years, $45 million, and was like, nope. Gotta go, man. Gotta go. He's already got the ring. He already has that championship. I feel like this is smart to get that 2 year deal. I think it's a team option in the second year, but he's going to be able to get out of that contract, whatever the case may be, in a couple of years. Play with a guy like Tyrese Haliburton, who I'll talk about later, but kind of play without the ball, kind of be a tough defender for the Indiana Pacers, who were a top seed in the East before the injury to Tyrese Haliburton and all that happening to him. So to sit there and get a guy like Bruce Brown who can help them continuously probably be out of the play-in, try to get out of the play-in, build out of the play-in, and be a playoff team for this Indiana Pacers team is going to be interesting. It was an interesting move. I like the move for him. I like the move for Indiana. It's not going to hurt them long-term or anything like that. It gives them some more flexibility. Let's continue to go on with a big West Coast signing. Gabe Vincent, the guy who had a nice showing in the NBA playoffs this past year. In the past couple of years, he's been there playing well, undrafted, able to work his way up to a starting role with the Miami Heat, and you get a guy of that caliber who competes on both sides of the ball, despite his size in the NBA, today's NBA. He's able to shoot it, able to be a nice point guard, and that's something that the Lakers desperately needed, right? Like, they need somebody else to be able to knock down shots, able to play a little, take the ball handling duties away from LeBron as much, and play as a natural point guard, try to get some scoring in there, of course, shooting the ball really well. I like the move for the Lakers. I think it's a smart move. I'm taking a swing on a guy who has been in that Heat culture, and, you know, that thing speaks volumes and kind of hides certain things, and maybe he can turn out good there. You know, that happens sometimes when guys go to certain teams. They actually leave, and then they're not the same guy. So we'll see that the case with Gabe Vincent and see if he's able to continue his strong play from Miami. Moving on, we got Max Strus here. 4 years, $64 million, going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I believe they're trying to work out a sign and trade so they're, Miami's not empty-handed. But that looks like a deal that's going to be done. Max Strus is going to be the shooter that Cleveland desperately need. They try to do it with Isaac Okoro, try to have other guys shoot it, and they just weren't hitting against a guy who has as many threes as he does, and a guy that has that volume, and a guy that kind of competes on the defensive end. Max Strus is going to fit really nicely in Cleveland, I think, especially with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland getting most of the attention. And then you got Evan Mobley up front. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in Cleveland, but I think Cleveland got a good one here and probably solved their shooting woes, at least from a one-player perspective. Moving on here, we got Dennis Schroeder going to Toronto, 2 years, $26 million. Nice solid deal for him, especially with Toronto losing Fred VanVleet. They need another point guard. Dennis Schroeder is at least serviceable. You know what I mean? He's going to be a solid point guard for them. Lots of international flavor on there that he can bring to that team. On the move again for him. Going to Toronto now and seeing if he can get those minutes. He's going to get the ball in his hands a lot. See if he can blend with Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. We'll see how that plays out for him, but I like the move for them. Not mad at it. Seth Curry, not Stephen Curry, Seth Curry, who was on Brooklyn last year, was in Philly prior, and was in Dallas at one point in time, is signing back with the Dallas Mavericks. He played well there when his time was there. Going back and playing with Luka, going back and playing with his college teammate, Kyrie Irving, that they went to Duke together. And that's just going to be a nice, solid pairing. It gives them another shooter, gives them somebody that can space the floor. Not sure he's going to hold up defensively for them, but the fact that he can shoot the ball the way he does is very impressive. And I thought this was a good move as well. Moving on here, we got Derrick Rose going to Memphis for 2 years, $6.5 million, roughly around there. To give him that mentorship that John Morant needs, being adult in the room, a guy that has been on those levels of John Morant. Derrick Rose is MVP of the league. So for him to go down to Memphis, basically play that mentor role to a John Morant and absolutely get back on the court in some capacity, I think it's a good move for them. I think it's a good move for Memphis. Having all those young guys down there, really needed somebody who has been probably the peak of a player, right? He's been an all-star player, multiple-time all-star. Derrick Rose was the shit, basically. So for him to go to Memphis now and play a different role in his career, and especially with a guy like Ja Morant, who you can kind of say is similar to Derrick Rose and those type of athletic finishes, acrobats, dunks, finishes, how they play, herky-jerky. Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But I like the move. I like the move for the Memphis Grizzlies. I like a lot of moves that the team's made today, thinking smartly with development moving forward, putting pieces together. That was good. Now we're going to go on to extensions that happened in the NBA, which I really liked. Two big moves from two small markets here. Tyrese Haliburton signing 5 years up to $260 million, obviously with incentives and bonuses and stuff like that. But Indiana spending money on their guy right now. and Tyrese Haliburton, again, liked him when he was in college, came out. People were complaining about his shot, thinking that he's not going to be able to shoot it. And guess what? Every year in the NBA, I believe he has shot over 40% from three. He is now a 20-10 player. And I believe he gets two steals a game, roughly around there. Like, this guy's the real deal. He's the real type of point guard that you want in your league. I cannot say enough about that guy. Like, he's really played his way into the hearts of Indiana. Obviously, they're going to keep him and continue to build around him, something that Sacramento wasn't willing to do. And we'll see if he's able to hold up there and play with Miles Turner and all those guys there and really try to put it together. So we'll see what Indiana is able to do with Tyrese Haliburton, but they got a great point guard. They got a good coach in Rick Carlisle, and we'll see what developments that they're going to continue to be able to do, especially with now that they have Tyrese Haliburton locked up under 5 years for $260 million potentially, which I believe he's going to get. Yeah, he's just too talented. He's just too talented. He has a great feel for the game, passes the ball, shoots the ball. Love his game. Moving on to Desmond Bane. 5 years, $207 million for a late first rounder. That really worked on his game. At one point was averaging 25 points next to Ja Morant. This guy's a real deal. He can shoot it. He's tough. And you just got to respect what the Grizzlies are doing, continuing to try to put together this roster right now. Especially with the Ja Morant suspension. But when he comes back, you got Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. Not a bad lineup to have going forward, but I think it's a smart move, especially with Ja Morant being suspended, that Desmond Bane gets in those type of situations where he can handle the ball and do a little bit more. He did have 4.4 assists, I believe, this year. But yeah, just the good signings from both small market teams looking to continue to build and put pieces together. And we're seeing it right now. We're seeing it right now between these two teams. We're seeing greatness in terms of management skills, right, and building a team, keeping your young players together and continuing to build and reward them for a great play. That is great from these two franchises here with Tyrese Haliburton and Desmond Bane. I feel like those are really good signings, and we'll see how they pan out. Now, probably the biggest thing to me that's been bothering me on free agency day one. James Harden is upset. He's upset. James Harden is upset. That's the headline. Nothing else. James Harden, who just opted into $35.6 million deal and instantly wants to be traded. Give me 1 second. He instantly wants to be traded, opting in. Now, I've sat here and we all know Oklahoma City wasn't his fault, right? Like, Oklahoma City was just a matter if the owner gave him a little bit more money to basically wet his beak a little bit, sweat, you know? And he got out of that situation, went to Houston. And I sat there and I said, this guy's going to be a great player for Houston. And he was. And he was there with Dwight Howard. Everything seemed to go fine the first year. The second year, is where things go off the rail. And, you know, people are going to give him the benefit of the doubt because Dwight Howard rubs people the wrong way. He rubbed people wrong in Orlando, L.A., and now Houston. He's in Houston. And we get all these situations here where James Harden is failing to get to the next level in the playoffs. I think he went to 2 Western Conference Finals during his time in Houston and nothing to show for it, right? Like not even getting to the finals. He wasn't doing that. Gets out of that situation by being lazy, fat, basically saying he wants a trade, working his way back into shape, obviously being a fluke, just being a pain in the ass. Athletes are able to lose weight fast. But the unprofessionalism by him in Houston, the politics he was playing in Houston, rubbed people the wrong way, especially me. Because I do think he's a good player. I do think he's talented. He went to Brooklyn with good intentions. Things just didn't work out, especially dealing with Kyrie Irving, which did not help the situation at that time. And everyone gave him a pass for that because it's like, all right, you got out of Houston, you better get out of Houston. You go to Brooklyn, it's really not your fault because of all the things going around with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and that whole situation. And you get out of that situation, and now you go to Philly. Obviously, he's changed his game. Respect him for that because that's not easy for a person who's played 10 years in the league. That's not easy at all. It isn't one of those things where you know who you are. But although he was good in Philadelphia, he faltered again in the playoffs. Although he was good in Philly, he did get hurt during the regular season. So all these things are happening. The Sixers blow a 3-2 lead, obviously, in the playoffs to the Boston Celtics. And everyone blames Doc Rivers, of course. That's fine. He's lost a bunch of 3-1 leads before. Writing was on the wall, especially after a loss like that, being so close to the conference finals, where they haven't been since 2001, I believe. So to sit there and, one, play politics, you have your GM, Daryl Morey. Doc Rivers gets fired. Okay. That's normal. That was kind of expected. Daryl Morey is your boy. But now you opt in, and now you're seeking a trade. Now, in OKC, Brooklyn, it wasn't your fault. Understandable. But in Houston, you got Kevin McHale fired. In Houston, you got Dwight Howard traded. In Houston, you got Chris Paul traded. In Houston, you got Russell Westbrook traded as well. What is your issue? Obviously, I think he's one of the better guards in the league all time. People are not going to give them that because he hasn't been to the finals and stuff like that. That's fine. But production-wise, from a basketball standpoint, you have no choice but to trust James Harden, at least in the regular season. And sometimes that's even iffy. But you have to respect his game because of the numbers he's able to put up, the creativity that he's able to have when he wants to pass the ball. Yeah, just very, 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 very tough for James Harden to sit there and side with him on this one. It's like, now you want out again? Like, we have the Kevin Durant situation, and now we have the James Harden situation where these guys are just continuously moving around, continuously wanting to be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And it's just weird, man. It's just honestly weird, man. Like, this guy just played with the MVP in the league. Joel Embiid just won MVP. You guys were one game within the conference finals, and now you're going to bail again? I don't get it. You're with the MVP. You were with Kyrie Irving. You were with Kevin Durant. You were with Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook. All those shooters down there, they beefed up the defense. It's like, wow. wow, James Harden, man. I don't know what to make of this man. Like, he just continuously rubs people the wrong way. Continuously just wants to get out. And let's face it, I don't think the East Coast is something that James Harden likes. Just going to go on a limb there. He was in Brooklyn, didn't work. He was in Philly for a couple years, didn't work. I think he wants to go to the West Coast. And rumors that the Clippers, I believe the Suns, have reached out in some capacity. I said trade him to Portland and then Portland flip him for picks, but at least Dame goes to Philly. And then you can flip James Harden for a better package there that you guys can get assets for of a team that's looking. But the fact that James Harden also is upset at the organization of the Philadelphia 76ers that this got out. And it's like, this is the NBA. This is not the NBA in the 90s where somebody had to go word of mouth and say something. Somebody can at least put a microphone in within 2 feet of you and get information. That's how. But it's just weird to see James Harden be mad at Daryl Morey, who basically tried to give him everything that he wanted, especially in Houston, bent over backwards for him, doing all the tales for him. And here we are, James Harden wanting out of this situation. And it's like, why? Why do you get to get out of these situations just because you don't want it? And I think James Harden, I don't want to sit there and say he doesn't want to win. I'm not going to be along the lines of that. But I think he wants to win his way. Kind of similar to his coach, his favorite coach, Mike D'Antoni, where everything was just fast paced, ball in his hands, controlling everything. And I get it. But you were just one game within the conference finals. You were one game within the way of the conference finals, and all of that is just thrown away. Yeah. Allegedly got Doc Rivers fired. And now it's like, I just don't get it. I don't know what the next move for him is. The reports are saying the Clippers. People are saying Kawhi and Paul George already signed off on that. But it's like, am I going to be willing to commit that much money to James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George? Maybe it's just a year or 2 year rental, but it's like these guys got to get to certain middle ground here. And I don't know where James Harden is going to end up, but man, it's tough. It's tough for anybody to try to defend James Harden, who is the Karl Malone of shooting guards, right? Like getting all the stats, but just never getting over that hump, never able to propel his team. And It's slowly being that, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with James Harden moving forward, and we'll get to it. That will be the end of episode 54. Obviously, free agency is going to continue to play out. I will see how that goes going forward, especially day two, especially the Celtics making a small move with O'Shea Brissett, I believe, out of Indiana, from Indiana. Nice little young player. We'll see how he's able to develop on the court and see how he's playing with those guys there in Boston, backing up Jaylen Brown, backing up Jason Tatum in that capacity, potentially next to Sam Hauser. We're going to see how that plays out. Definitely going to see how that plays out. But that will do it for this episode of 54 of the Basketball Soapbox. Continuing with the free agency, a bunch of ring takes videos just went up where we're making our picks for Money in the Bank and AEW Forbidden Door. We review that as well. We're going to continue to do that next week as we review AEW, WWE, especially Money in the Bank, which will happen, in the afternoon coming up. So we're going to see how that plays out for the WWE in here. But, of course, we're going to continue also with the NBA free agency day two, day three. This crazy weekend that is happening. I love this time of the year, especially with all the movement. And we're going to see what happens in the NBA, see what any dominoes and see if any trades are going to actually happen, signs and trades of that type of nature. We're going to see what happens. But that will do it for this episode of 54 of the Basketball Soapbox. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Please do that for the channel. We're trying to get it to 500. We're almost at 300. Continue to like, continue to show up, continue to show support, continue to comment, and I'll respond. And we'll talk basketball. But that will do it for this episode. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Spotify and on YouTube. Thank you.